February 17th, 2016, it's a Watt from Pedro show.
Thank you. When I see you on the street, you seem so sweet and good, acting just as innocent as babies in the woods. Looking like sweet butter would melt upon your tongue while you're telling everybody about the awful things I've done. But ooh, I ain't got nothing on you, nothing on you. Said ooh, I ain't got nothing on you, nothing on you. You keep telling all your lies, and people all think they're true, especially the ones that don't know you like I do. But I know all about you and the trouble that you bring, but nobody believes me, and I can't prove a thing. Said, ooh, ain't got nothing on you, nothing on you. Said, nothing on you, nothing on you, nothing on you. They keep saying I'm crazy, that much I know is true, but the craziest thing that ever did was get mixed up, get all mixed up with you. Lord, I ain't got nothing on you.
That's it.
Oh, man. Really good. Good thank people. Cool. Brother Matt.
Yeah.
Well, 12 days we've been in the 80s in SoCal. And finally,
man, yeah.
Finally,
what a winter.
Maybe we'll have some rain tonight.
What a winter.
Wow. Anyway, we start off the show with John Coltrane doing some other blues. And then Dave Witto, on air performance of.
Next to John Coltrane, hey, can't complain. Oh, it's nothing on you. Nothing on you. That's right.
I want to get it right. I blow a lot of things. Dave's been playing a long time in this town here, and Brother Matt suggests, and I said, fuck yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank
Dave,
you for having me
what's
on.
Your earliest music memory?
Earliest music memory? I guess I was about maybe 4 or 5, and it seemed like at that time probably my earliest memories might have been stuff like early Beatles and AM radio, you know, that was playing in my area, you know.
Yeah, where was that?
Cincinnati is where I grew up.
Right.
You know, and so they had, like, everything on the radio from,
you know, where I played before I played Cincinnati was across the river in Newport.
Oh, sure.
Punk bands couldn't play at first.
Oh,
there was a
band
called Jockey Club.
Right, that's right. I know the place.
Okay.
Right.
So you were 5, 6 years old, and like a lot of us in those days, AM radio was big.
That's right. That's right. And they had kind of a slice of every. Well, you
sure.
You remember how that was. They
it
had,
was.
You know, some
music was music. Genre wasn't really a big deal.
Right, yeah.
Kind of like
really so, talk about, yeah.
In the house, did you have people in your family that played?
Well, let's see. My mom played a little guitar and a little piano, and we had an old acoustic guitar around the house. And from there, you know, I think like one of my older brothers learned to play a little bit. He actually became a bass player and went on to play some jazz with some notable guys. But yeah, I guess I picked it up from my mom having a little bit. Yeah, a little bit.
Cool. Mm-hmm. And there was a guitar even there.
Yeah, yeah, she had a.
That's how you got on guitar.
That's right. They had an old cheap Stella. You know, you could barely press the notes down. But
sure, sure. Did you have a teacher? Did you just feel it out by listening to records?
I did it first. Well, my brother, you know, he didn't really show me too much. He was busy with his, you know, stuff and things. But I did have a teacher for like 3 or 4 years named Bobby Fisher back
Bobby
there.
Fisher. The chess player.
Yeah, just like the chess player. That's right. But he didn't play. He was not the chess player. He took time out of his chess schedule to teach me a little guitar. But that was like unconventional kind of. I mean, you know, it wasn't a lot of music theory exactly,
sure.
Is what I mean.
Which is kind of good.
Yeah, I like, yeah, that's, and that's how I sort of stayed.
Okay.
And I never
okay.
really.
So, you're just doing it by yourself with the pad. And
yeah.
Bobby Fisher learning stuff from him. So when did you
yeah,
start getting together?
I got a band. I got in
yeah.
a band, like, I guess,
what
you
was
know,
it?
Maybe
junior
I was
high,
like 13
school,
or something.
Junior high.
Right. Before I could drive, you know, we were in a band and we played parties and bar mitzvahs and or
what
whatever we could get, you know. We were called Astrum, you know. We I think we got the name out of the back of a Latin book we had, you know. It was like,
is it an Astrum
meant
thing?
The stars or something in Latin. Astrum.
Oh, Astrum, because Astrum I think is the pads
yeah, yoga
in
place.
India. Yeah.
Oh, oh yeah, no, no. We
Astrum.
Were,
so astro, asteroid.
Right.
Astral.
Right, yeah.
From the space.
Yeah, yeah. And then I remember one of the guys quit or got fired or something and became Astrum too.
You're so. Firing dudes as teenagers. Wow.
Already ruthless.
Yeah, you're learning the racket.
Right.
You're fucking right, tossing dudes.
Making enemies
yeah.
from an early age.
Done. Put a fork in. Oh, I remember about Cincinnati. Brother Matt, you know what they like to chow? Spaghetti with chili.
That's right,
that was special.
Man. That's right. That stuff is.
That's what's good about touring.
Man, I tell you, I've got fond memories. I could, you know, I'm like Pavlov's dog when you say that.
But you survived the cut. You didn't get tossed.
No, not.
Were you right?
Well, it was my band. No, I'm just kidding. It wasn't really my. I'm kidding, but.
You know, some dudes got thrown out of their own band.
Yeah.
Sid Barrett.
Oh, right. Yeah,
right,
I guess
that's
it's
his band. Pete Frampton, he actually started Humble Pie. He quit. He didn't get thrown out.
Yeah.
That was his band.
Right.
Sometimes the.
Shit
what do you call it? The principal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Steve Jobs and his band.
Oh, right.
Yeah, right.
Tossed. Came back, though.
Yeah.
Watch out. Karma Wales. Okay, so were you writing your own tunes in this band?
No, we were really, at that time, we were just doing covers.
I mean, I come from the same culture. Until the funk movement, I know.
Yeah.
I wrote one song in private. It was called Mr. Bass King Outer Space.
Oh, man, I like
I
it already.
Anybody. It was about doing a bass solo and knocking everyone off the stage. It obviously, it's very hard to complex.
I like that,
but
right. Yeah.
I mean, you know, talking sure. about the 70s. And
yeah.
People didn't write their own song. You copied off records.
Right.
You guys did the same
you got
thing.
You started early, yeah.
So it wasn't just Beaver. It was in Cincinnati, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, a lot of the people from our generation, that's the way it was.
Right.
Just didn't start writing. We've had younger people on. First thing they did was start writing.
Yeah.
It's a lot different.
That's true.
So
man.
So you guys
really
were,
think about that.
You know, you gravitated towards, I mean, you're a musician, but you gravitated a little bit towards blues.
When eventually. That
yeah,
really came a lot later.
That's later, okay.
It really
okay.
did come later.
Because I'm wondering
how that really
happened. What kind
of
tunes were you guys playing with Astral?
Well,
kind of psychedelic rock?
And we were playing like, we were playing like classic rock stuff. like, you know, Led Zeppelin and Doobie Brothers or Allman Brothers or, you know, kind of a wide spectrum of, but classic rock stuff mostly.
Oh, do you remember your first electric guitar? Because obviously you weren't playing the Stella anymore.
Yeah, I do. Let's see, my first electric was a Melody Maker, Gibson Melody Maker.
Sure. And how'd you get it?
Little cheapo thing. I'm sure my mom helped me, or my parents. Yeah, they helped me get it.
Guitar store, speaking of which, next to Bogart's, that club.
Oh, sure, Bogart's, yes. I played in Bogart's.
There's a pad there with old guitars and basses, and I made 20 years ago. I mean, it was bitching path.
Yeah, I don't remember
what was your first amp?
My first amp was an old Magnetone.
They were Torrents, you know that?
Is that right? Yeah, that's right. I remember they were California. Yeah, wow.
Pearl, someone had the toilet seat Pearl.
Or right. Yeah, sure enough.
They're very desired now.
Right, that's true, huh? That's true. Yeah, this was kind of an old, it was like
Hey, we're going to play this song, it's called On the Lookout.
Right on.
What can you tell us about that?
On the Lookout, that was a tune, originally I actually co-wrote that with Marty Greb, one of the guys from sort of Bonnie Raitt's gang of guys she started out with. And Marty and I were writing for a little while. Then Marty got a record deal, and he wanted to put pretty much all of his own writing on the record. So we did a little trade for my writing part. I gave him part of a song he had some credit in. And so I gave away my writing credit on it, but I played guitar on this track. And this was a cool album. There's a bunch of good people on the record, like Bonnie Raitt's on the record, and Taj Mahal, and a bunch of different people. And
do you remember something Stones did called the Rock and Roll Circus? They wouldn't let come out until a few years ago.
Oh,
he owns up.
Yeah, oh, yeah, Taj is cool, man.
Ain't that a lot of right love? And he's dressed as a cowboy, yeah, right there.
Oh, very cool.
And I think
cool.
On the guitar, Jesse, at Dayton.
Jesse Davis, yeah.
Badass.
Oh, man, great
incredible
guitar player.
Died way too young.
No
okay,
doubt.
Let's play On the Lookout.
All right.
I'm on the Fresh Papers Gourmet Coffee in Portisland.
Hi, this is Colin. Can I help you?
Yeah, I need a squid sandwich in the next 5 to 10 minutes. I don't have a whole lot of time here on this sandwich.
You don't have a lot of time?
No, frankly, I don't.
Okay, well, then I don't know if I can help you.
And you're going to have to accept coins.
We accept coins if they're U.S. coins.
Most of them are. Listen, do you want me to come down?
You're more than welcome to come down.
I'll come down and pick the damn thing up.
We have frozen calamari, so you'd have to wait for it to defrost. 5 minutes, it's not going to happen.
Oh, it's going to happen one way or the other, pal.
Okay, I'm sorry, but are we having a problem here?
Where's my squid sandwich?
Your squid sandwich is not made. If you would like a squid sandwich, we are more than welcome to get you a squid sandwich, but it's going to take longer than 5 minutes. And yes, you can pay with coins.
I'll bring my boot to y'all. How's that sound?
You can bring your boots?
I'll whip your ass.
No, I don't think you would do that, because then I would have to get the police involved.
But I'm going to kick you in the seat a couple times.
Okay, I'm going to have to hang up now, okay? I'm going to have to hang up, so if you'd like a squid sandwich, I'd be more than happy to make you one.
Okay? I'm going to whip your ass.
I'm going to have to get the police involved, okay? I'm going to have to hang up.
Thank you. let the light build up from so far away. Look at the time it took to reach our eyes. It just takes time for them to get the idea, but the star seems to emerge out of just a short time to appear before the eye and really shine like the Pleiades sisters. Yeah, when that group gets going, you can see them really good, and they look just adorable. And so, my friends, when I take the time to build up that light all that time, well, it is worth it to pick it out and really see. A star or your favorite group will shine for you if you just take the time to let it just build and shine in its own right.
Show, we heard On the Lookout, Dave Widow. This is not in the lineup. This is
actually Marty Greb, an assembled group that he had, and I just happened to play guitar on the track.
Yeah, you co-wrote know. It, but they gave it up for...
Right, that's right. That's right. It's a little bit of a strange feeling. Well, that was partly my song.
And then we had Longmont Potion Castle with Squid Sandwich. Goes out to Mr. Tom, who's the Black Mouth Super Rainbow, American Face Dust. Then the pop group, Shadow Child, Kinkan Ichi, Isola, Part 1, Tuggy, Standard Star, Joe Brewer, Isola, Part 2, Tuggy, and finally Dr. Amazon with Josh, Can You Hear Me?
Yeah.
Back to our guest Dave Widow's story, his journey through music. So you're in junior high. You're playing parties and dances, Cincinnati, with Astrum 2.
Yeah, Astrum, whatever.
Astrum 2.
Either way.
So we got scissored, right? So we wouldn't confuse it with Astrum 1.
Right, that's right.
This is pre-YouTube.
Let's see. High school comes on, and we're still playing. I think I would play. We were playing a couple of bars even at around that point, and let's see, I kind of, you know, I think around that time I met the guys from Pure Prairie League. They lived in town.
Yeah.
And, well, let's see, that was just after high school. High school was, man, I have a little bit of a fog around high school, to be honest with you. For good reason, actually.
And you can remember you weren't there, right?
Yeah.
I'm just curious about the timeline of you playing.
Right.
Does the band ask them to go past high school?
No. They quit about
another band or something.
Yeah. Let's see what happened around that time. I was in a couple other bands in town. One was an R&B band, and the other, I guess we played like all sorts of different kinds of music. And
you know who's out of Cincy, Brother Man?
Bootsy.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And Catfish, his brother, was rhythm guitar for Mr. Brown a lot
that's
of years.
Sure. Yeah, it was a lot of great.
But he said R&B, and I said Cincinnati. Boots.
A lot of great cats.
Okay. So what was it like?
Came out of
doing R&B, a band. Were you playing bars, clubs?
Yeah. We were playing clubs, and it was cool. It was
still
fun.
Covers, but R&B covers.
Yeah.
When did you start writing your own tunes?
It was around that time. Okay. I think I wrote, some of my first music, and
that's kind of on the side because you're playing with these other guys.
Right. I wasn't really playing that stuff with the band, and then I think it was around that time I got introduced to Lonnie Mack.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know who that.
Oh, sure. Guitar man.
And Lonnie just happened to be playing.
And you're Flying V Man.
Right, that's right. That's right. And Lonnie was cool. I didn't really know of him up until that point. Yeah. And my friend said, oh, you gotta hear Lonnie Mack. He's playing at our college today, right? He's playing in the whatever downstairs. And I went and heard him, and we talked. I got to talk to him for a while, and he let me sit in, and that was a trip because. Wow. I hadn't really been playing for a year or two that much. I was sort of trying to, in school and trying to get some, something to fall back on as the parents would always say. Right. You better get something.
Get a Bravo. Get a Plan B.
Right. And
my pop would say, you can piss in the wind only so long, boy.
That's right. Yeah, that's true, really.
First the ankles, up to the knee. Yeah.
So there was a couple years there I wasn't so focused on music.
You're in the desert.
I hadn't played really at all.
Musical desert.
I was. And the guys I was going to school with, they didn't even know I played. I never mentioned
it. Look, when I went to school, too, I got my degree. I never let anybody know because
right.
Square John World, it was the 70s.
Hold
up. But Lonnie Mack got the fire going.
He did, man. He let me sit in and... And that was a lot of fun for us all. It was really cool, man. The whole band's jaws were collectively dropped, too. And we kind of played really well together and similar styles. And then he started letting me sit in with him, like, all around town because he was from around that area.
Oh, okay.
And so he was playing around there a lot. And so I sort of became a regular sit-in of sorts. And that was really good for me. That helped kind of get me going.
Kind of sensei.
Yeah, and then I met a few other guys from that area that had, some tools.
So that's where the blues.
That's when it got, right, mixed in.
Well, that's a great fucking teacher.
I'm
much respected.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, Lonnie was cool.
What evolved?
Oh, yes. Say again?
What evolved after that?
I met Roger Troy, Jelly Roll. He had been in Mike Bloomfield's bands and a bunch of other blues stuff, and he kind of took me under wing and started, letting me hang out with him. And, really, he didn't have a license, so I was driving him everywhere is really what it was. But we played together. We kind of
bartered services.
Right. Yeah. And we, did some gigs together and stuff, which was cool. And we went in the studio a couple of times. And so that was cool. And then I met the guys from Pure Prairie League. Yeah. And we all had a band for a little bit anyway, Jelly Roll with a couple of those guys. And... and they were all into blues too, kind of bluesy stuff. Yeah. Anyway, none of these guys were blues purists or anything.
Yeah.
But, and then I came out to California.
Yeah, when was that?
That was 88.
Okay.
And I basically followed a girl out here that I knew, a girl that I'd been dating.
That left Cincinnati.
She had just graduated fashion design school.
Yeah.
And so it was either New York or L.A. for her. She wound up in L.A. and I was like. About a month later, what am I doing still here, right? I need to make a move anyway. Maybe I'll see what's going on the coast, music.
Sure.
And So my buddy Jelly Roll gave me a list of five or six names, and I came out with whatever money I could scrape up and met my girl out here and started meeting people in L.A., and I was pretty fortunate at that time because the list I started out with was people like Al Schmidt and Mike Finnegan and Marty Grubb, some pretty prominent names in the industry, and you know, from there I just met a lot of other people, and I got to play with, you know, some pretty good guys out here. I think really one of the big reasons was, you know, because I knew Roll in the first place.
Sure, he was a connect. But you had to put out, you had to deliver.
Yeah, I had to hold my own.
You know, you had to play.
Yeah.
So what, you like did some sideman stuff?
I did. Yeah, I did some sideman stuff. I pretty soon I started realizing I wasn't working enough, though. And so I wanted to get more work. So I said, well, I have to start my own band.
Yeah.
And I wasn't even really singing that much. I was more of a guitar player, and I started emphasizing, you know, on singing and doing gigs. And, you know, we were playing, like, B.B. King's Club and Universal City Walk and House of Blues and different places.
You know, it's gone now.
Yeah.
Me and Brother Matt went to the, was it the last gig?
Yeah.
It's going to be a condo or something.
Oh, right.
Because there ain't enough of them.
Got to develop that stuff.
Yeah, the House of Blues, yeah. Yeah, it was something they could make
House of Blues
10 times the money on, right. Yeah.
But, yeah, less places to play, though, so that's kind of lame.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
So, you're playing around town, but did you ever think about touring?
Yeah, I did some small stints. We went to Hong Kong and played once. We did some in Cincy. I went back there and did some stuff with Pure Prairie League. We did a show and I never did a lot of road stuff, though. You know, we'd do 3, 4, 5 dates and come home. Now Joe Puerta and I are talking about maybe going out and trying to do some stuff, and we're working on some gigs in Europe.
Joe Puerta, old-time Pedro.
He's
part of the lineup.
From Ambrosia. Yeah, he plays with me, you know, when he's not working with Ambrosia.
The lineup is the name of Dave's band. And,
right.
From Ambrosia, which goes back to 70s.
That's true.
Old Pedro, musician, incredible cat.
Yeah,
So nice guy. How did you meet him? Was he on that list of five?
No.
Actually, you didn't come to Pedro first when you came to SoCal, right?
No.
You were probably uptown.
Well, I got dropped off in Newport Beach and rented a place down there. Yeah, it was, you know, I don't know why. My girlfriend, she had a place right on the beach.
Balboa Island.
Right, near, not too far, right.
Wow.
Like a 30th and Balboa or something like that on the corner, like a couple of houses from the beach. She had a little place and... It was kind of wacky. So we got out of there after, I don't know, about a year and moved up to Torrance for a minute. But then I realized that was just like nothing but shopping and insanity. And I ran across San Pedro and I was like, man, I like this place right by the water.
You mean it was just a random thing?
Well, I had driven all over L.A. and was looking for where might be cool. And everybody, of course, said, move to the Valley, Dave. That's where all the musicians live. And, you know, I was like, yeah, but it's hot and it's smoggy and it's crowded, man.
You are correct, sir.
I mean, you know, it was a hard decision, but I decided, hey, man, I think I'd rather live near the ocean and drive into town than I had to.
I know Perkins, 38 miles.
Oh, man.
He's a receiver. When I play with Perk,
there's
some hell ride, but he's bitching, so it's worth it.
Yeah.
But, man, I agree with you. I'd rather live here.
Right.
Go. Okay. So you met, when you move here, that's when you meet Joe.
Yeah, I met Joe around the first part of when I moved to San Pedro. And, like, I met him when I was hanging out with Lee Michaels when he owned the theater.
Yeah, Lee Michaels had a big hit. With the drummer, I think his name is Frosty.
That's right, Frosty.
It goes, you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean?
Do you know what I mean?
It's just keyboard and drums.
Yeah, it was
pretty gano.
Pretty hot for two guys.
And that song was big. It blew up. It was on all over.
Is that the same as Oogum Boogum? Just a different one.
That's different.
That was him, though, I think.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Really catchy.
So you met him.
I love that.
I think he used to be involved with the Warner Theater for a while.
Yeah, so, he owned the theater.
He owned it, right.
That's like when I, maybe I met him before he bought the theater. But he knew an artist friend of mine that was that lived and worked up at Angel's Gate.
Right, Pratt. 30 years now.
No, not. The place. Yeah. Oh, so I thought you were talking about somebody.
Used to be the latrine for the officers. I tore out the shitters and I put in a bulkhead and a hatch. I've been there 30 years.
Right. Yeah. Cool place. And in fact, I put on a blues concert up there with Bonnie Bramlett and Jelly Roll. And,
in that gun pit.
In that big gun pit. Right. Yeah, in the middle.
That's a great spot.
Yeah.
Use it more often.
Yeah, no kidding.
So Lee Michaels to Joe.
Right. And we did a bunch of shows up at the Warner.
Joe knows all the music guys, especially the older days.
Yeah, he does. I mean, we did a few gigs back then, but we didn't do a lot. And then I didn't see him for maybe 20 years. And then I kind of ran into him again, and he said, hey, let's play. And
it's his idea.
Yeah, wanted to do some stuff more than what they were.
But the lineup is Dave Widow.
Yeah.
So what does he say? I want to back you up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's really into my
bass players.
Stuff.
We look good making them look good.
Hey, you guys do, don't? And I know it too, man. You guys are the, really.
We're the glue.
You
we
are.
We got nothing to stick to. We're just a puzzle.
You are, man. We couldn't be shit without a good bass player and drummer,
But you know what? There are a lot of bands with just guitar and drums.
Yeah, there's a few.
That poor lonely kick drum. I wanted to dance.
But we know that ain't right.
I know there's more room in the boat, but what a sacrifice.
We won't go there.
So, did you record with Joe when you got that thing together?
Yeah, well, we're actually working on a couple of tunes right now.
Oh, right now?
Yeah.
Well, what about the we got it covered, the CD?
Oh,
is that lineup?
That's yeah, that was like one of the early versions.
Those were
the guys that I was playing with a lot at that time. Was Gary Malibur on drums, and he did like a lot of the Steve Miller stuff in the 70s and 80s. And well, I think he was down here most of the time, but they'd fly in or whatever, and was primarily playing with Gary and Gerald Johnson. Did you know who Gerald Johnson was? Left-handed, upside-down, crazy ass. Him and Reggie McBride. And I think Reggie played on that record, though. Gerald isn't on that record. So it was basically me and Gary Malibur, Reggie McBride, and Marty Greb played keyboards. And
so it's more recent, this thing with Joe.
Yeah.
Okay, very interesting. And have you got some tunes in the can?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, sure enough. Working on this.
Just to keep the timeline. So you met Joe way back with Lee Michaels, but then there's big place and when you're playing with these other cats.
Yeah.
And then Joe comes back in the picture.
Right, I rotated a lot of guys in and out of the... I mean, when they're available, right?
Sure,
when
sure.
they're not on tour or right, doing sessions or whatever. And
available.
It's kind of...
line up together.
Right. Yeah.
That's
hence
the lineup.
That's right. We don't know who's going to be there, but it'll be the.
Hey, brother man, we're at the end of the first hour, February 17, 2016 edition. Guest
good.
Dave Widow.
Yeah.
Hold tight, because there's going to be a collaboration coming up in hour two. February 17, 2016. It's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro show. Here's Dave Widow.
Daddy was working on the railroad. My mama raising hell and raising kids. Biting, fishing, hunting, being poor folk. And the neighbors looking down on what we did. I was born on funky country living. Raising chicken, chasing girls. I was born funky country living. Now I'll be funky country living when I die. I just us sitting around just being pretty. My brother's chasing bars and racing cars. I spent most of my time on the creek bank, drowning worms and playing songs on my guitar. I was born on funky country living, raising chicken, chasing girls and homemade wine. I was born on funky country living, and I'll be funky country living when I die. I was raised in the one classroom schoolhouse. Matter, I did not learn much anyway. Educated in the fields and in the barnyard, stopping hogs, pitching chicken, pitching hay. I was born on funky country living, raising chicken, chasing girls, and homemade wine. I was born funky country living. I'll be funky country living when I die.
Count the almonds. Count what was bitter and kept you awake. Count me in. I looked for your eye when you opened it. No one was looking at you. I spun that secret thread on which the dew you were thinking slid down to the jugs, guarded by words that to no one's heart found their way. Only there did you wholly enter the name that is yours. Sure-footed, stepped into yourself. Freely the hammer swung in the bell frame of your silence. The listened for reached you. What is dead put its arm around you also, and the three of you walked through the evening. Make me bitter. Count me among the almonds. For your eye when you opened it. No one was looking at you. I spun that secret thread. what is dead put its arm round you also, and the three of you walked through the evening. Only there did you wholly enter the name that is yours. Freely the hammer swung in the bell frame of your silence. The listened for reached you, and the three of you walked through the evening.
I fall down on the street with a full moon in the daylight sky. And a night deep in my back, another buried in my side. And as I slip, I start to scream. Why did I have to be unkind? Why must I always tell the truth? Why must I lie? Why I must lie? Why must I lie? Why I must lie? You know the world is filled with duty. Love the creatures walk the street. You know these eyes are blind. Must I lie?
seems to me eterni. Napul revoluce, napul k všemu hostejný. Napul rezoluce, napul ticho před všemi. Napul nože v ruce, napul se všim smíření. Napul revoluce, napul všemu hostejný. Napul rezoluce, napul ticho před všemi. Jednoký mezi svatými král, nehledí do nebe, páni do sebe.
Pedro Show. Start off the second hour with Dave Widow on air performance here. Love Grotto on the Pleasure Point.
Can't talk either, dude.
That's cool. Make
Wild
me feel
Kingdom.
Better.
I got to be enlightened by another level of the Wild Kingdom back in history, Buzz.
Yeah.
There was a whole another.
Yeah, a whole
lot. I'm in Wild Kingdom 2.
Yeah, this is actually three.
Oh, shit, huh?
Really? Three? It's pad. Actually Wild Kingdom 3.
Well, there was the Manhattan crew. That was where it started.
Right. Okay.
In my old pad.
The pirate pad?
Yeah.
Because you know they used to run rum here.
No, I didn't know.
Yeah,
that.
Bootleg did.
I mean, I'm not surprised.
Prohibition, because of water and stuff.
Right,
and
sure.
This was one of the port of entries.
Yeah. Wow, I guess. Yeah, I never really.
And where his pad was, like, there was a little trail and,
Yeah.
We start off the second hour, like I said, Funky Country Living, Dave Widow on guitar and singing. Dan Kaufman with Count the Almonds after that. Some people say almonds.
Yeah. Where they come from.
Then EVL with Fade Memory, Fruity with Ruby Lover, Barrence Whitfield and the Savages, Full Moon in the Daylight Sky, and finally from the Czech Republic, Uzma Doma with 50%, brand new, their Three Crosses record. So we ended the first hour talking about the lineup and how it's a rotating thing. Was George Hurley a lineup man?
Well,
or was he just like an informal jam guy?
It was more like informal. I did some gigs with George, but it was never really
the lineup.
The lineup, yeah. But we did a few gigs here and there. We still get together and play from time to time. You know, and we keep talking about doing something again. And
he's surfing now.
Like yeah.
He's back. Yeah.
That's cool.
He's back in Pedro, too. He was in Carson for a little bit. Now he's back. Yeah. Some by the water.
He stays in shape.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he's...
Really good shape. Georgie.
Yeah.
And
still looking good. Okay.
Kind of singular player, right?
Right. Yeah, no doubt. Oh, man, he's got his
14
own...
and a half years with him. Incredible.
That's what I hear.
Incredible cat. So...
That's word on the street.
Yeah, word on the street. Now, this with Joe... This lineup that you're doing the songs.
Yeah.
By the way, where are you recording? Is it Pedro?
It's all over. I mean, just wherever. I've got a system at home. I got Pro Tools at home.
Sure.
I could like do more overdub stuff there.
Where do you do drums?
Well, on this last stuff,
yeah.
I've used. We were at like three different places. It was kind of depending on who was closest to where, when, what group of guys for what group of tunes, and I kind of do a couple of tunes at a time with you know, certain guys, and because it's just too hard to do the whole thing at once.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Piece
so,
it out.
Right. Piece it out. And like I did basic tracks at Johnny Lee Shell's studio. Johnny Lee, he's just got a studio at his house. It's a really nice studio. It used to be
everybody play now. I really like this. This is so much different than the old days.
Right.
Everybody.
Everybody's got a studio at their house, right?
It's happening. In fact, I think we should get it happening now at the Spin Cycle, Brother Man.
Cool, cool.
That'd be a great idea.
Here we go.
Cool.
I'm going to go to the hospital. Thank you.
Do what you just did. What was your inspiration?
Well, I want to take Dave for a little ride by the clam station there in the middle. Taste of the local chowder.
A couple of clam stations.
Taste of the local chowder.
Right. But, not just one angle. I think a couple of perspectives on that clam shack.
Yeah, but we started strong and we ended strong. So that
the
was
sandwich.
Our vision. Yeah, the old sandwich you're talking about. What was Iggy saying?
Yeah, it's, you know, you got one good piece of bread, another piece of bread. You can have shit in between, and you still got yourself a sandwich. You know, Bud, man, you want to notice watching Dave Widow here playing? The man is pickles.
Yeah.
Not pickles, but pickles.
Yeah.
No, D. Boone did a lot of this. Because he was a big fan of some guy that showed us stuff young. Roy Mendez Lopez, he was a finger man. He says, you're going to lose picks.
Right.
And also this flamenco thing, or the arpeggios, and even, you know, folk thing with a bass with your thumb. And really interesting you doing that on electric guitar with that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I never noticed that. Do you ever use a pick?
Sometimes when I'm recording, just to get a real defined rhythm part, you know, down on record, you know, that I'm a little happier with, but live, really never, unless I break a nail or
fuck up my hand. That's what you're doing, you're using your nails.
A little bit both, actually
fingers.
Both, yeah.
I was watching,
both.
It's really interesting.
Yeah, yeah, I
really
do kind of mix it up.
Kind of D-Boom big time.
Wow, that's
D-Boom
nice.
Would do it on electric guitar too, sometimes.
Yeah.
And in fact, he grew his nails out, and this guy, Roy Mendez Lopez, he put cement, you know, what's a Duco,
partner.
Remember the green tubes?
Yeah, yeah.
Duco, and it would build up, so these things were like, I mean, that, you know.
I got to do that too.
Would have veered into a kung fu thing. He could have liked being plucking hearts. And
right. About every other gig, I'll break a nail off and have to do that. Or, you know, when I'm thinking about it, I'll just kind of put it on there for extra.
Because they don't look that long.
Yeah, no, they're not.
They're strong.
Yeah.
But D-Bone had them out, and it wasn't ladylike. Huh. It was more like making little picks out. Or, you know, banjo guys put the steel ones on there.
Right. Yeah. I never could play with those things, though, man.
Yeah.
That's like.
No, I play. It's got their own way. It's just I've just picked up on that, and you can hear it in the playing too because you don't always get the same attack. It's really interesting.
Yeah,
it's got
more
a lot of textures
and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you for noticing. Yeah. It's nice of you to notice.
And the phrasing, and I think Brother Matt threw some curves at you there with the.
No doubt.
Yeah, that improv section in the middle got a little
but still, he deferred,
out there, but
you know,
yeah.
giving that,
yeah.
that those two pat. Guys in the sweater a little space.
Yeah.
I remember, I say that because, you know, 90s, drum and bass, some guys told me about this new scene called drum and bass. And I was like, whoa, yeah, you know, drummers and bass players, you know, it was at that Viper Room, huh?
Well,
West
right.
Hollywood,
yeah.
right? And it was two sweaters with a lot of machine.
Wow.
But, actually, Brother Matt turned me on to a dude that does that. What was his name? With the A?
Oh, Aphrodite.
Pretty intense.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I actually got
old,
to see him at that fat.
Big old fat rolling sounds.
And and he was one guy in a sweater.
Yeah.
He was tearing it up. I mean, it's stuff you could, I mean, the kick drums are like 500 beats a minute. I mean, some parts are so crazy.
Yeah, you need drugs.
I
got
to give credit to guys.
Think about that. I don't play a lot with synthesizers. My second man, I have been playing with a Hammond organ, though.
Yeah. Right. I don't
and
do
then,
much of it.
You had a keyboard in the lineup, right?
Yeah. It was
but it's more like a piano organ.
Yeah, most of the time. And sometimes, a lot lately, I've been just doing a three-piece, guitar, bass, and drums. And no keys, or I add a guitar player or a keyboard, kind of one of the
three. You ain't really done jamming with synth players.
Not too much. Not to say that I wouldn't be into it, though.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Music's music.
Yeah. I mean, I like anything that sounds good, you know, especially if it's got anything funky in it.
When you were a kid, did you use of course, some soul, some were you a pick man as a younger man?
Yeah, I think I stopped using a pick, I think that was back when I was kind of hanging out with Roger Troy, and he noticed I was playing without a pick one day, and he said, man, I like what you're doing, you should play like that from now on, and, you know, it sounds good, and it might help to set you apart, and, you know.
Other things you can chord hit at the same time.
That's true.
And I've seen dudes do hybrid, where they hold a pick and still arpeggiate.
Yeah.
Greg Legner saw do that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They arpeggiate with the other three fingers and hold the pick with.
I never really tried to cop that,
you
know, style, but.
Totally a deep move.
Wow, thank you.
And he brought
take
it from
that
the
as
flamenco
a compliment.
Side. See, everybody's got something. John Coltrane once said music was a big reservoir.
Yeah, no doubt.
Because this guy was doing an interview with him. He said, you know, it was Frank Kosky. And he said, you know, Sun Ra says you've been ripping him off. And he goes, you know, there might be something to that because I listened to John Gilmore, you know, Sun Ra's a tenor player. Because I listened to John Gilmore. You couldn't get Train upset. Your music's weak. I guess we're either drinking from it or we're pissing.
Well, that's really true.
But we're all, you know,
very
what I
little
mean?
New, really.
You can write a novel, let's say, 30,000 words. Not one has to be invented. And it can still be a pretty original plot, subplots.
No doubt.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, we're all fishing kind of out of this little pond. And,
well, I like the line to that, Alani. What did he say? I'm drowning worms.
Right, right.
That's the dude who's fishing when he catches shit, right?
I guess, yeah.
I'm drowning worms.
Sounds like
very,
it.
Very, very clever way of putting it. It's like, I ain't catching anything, but I'm drowning worms.
Slow day on the lake.
Yeah, but everybody's got their version of spin.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. That's right.
Okay, we come to end of second hour, February 17, 2016 edition of Watford Pedro Show. Brother Matt, our guest Dave Widow here.
Yeah.
Hey.
Just fresh from a collab with the Spin Cycle. Hold tight for hour three.
Yeah.
February 17, 2016. It's the third hour of the Watford Pedro Show.
Biggest fan, doing whatever you can. to the last gen.
Yeah.
chance to get anywhere this afternoon in this debate, if members on both sides of the chamber continue to bawl at each other. It would be a very good idea if we could listen to each other.
stale music. But instead you handed me stale dog shit. When I spoke up in protest, you yelled at me to sit down and shut up. Now you know why I have come to kill you. I'm the tiger that ripped out Roy's jugular.
Pedro show start off the third hour with Where Have You Gone, Dave Widow in the Lineup. Tell us about that one, Dave. That's one you wrote about a buddy, right?
Yeah, that's right. That was about my old buddy Roger Troy, passed away, and you know, just kind of reminiscing about missing him and, you know, how he was such a bad cat. You know, he would, you know, go and sit in, and he would become the show wherever he went, and, you know, guys would come to town, and, you know, pretty big acts, and he knew them, and he would, you know, he would go sit in with them, or, you know, wherever we would play. He was just awesome, man. One of a few people that really put chills down the back of my neck a couple of times in his vocal work, and
yeah.
Yeah, so that was kind of good about
it. So he's kind of sad?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's what's good about music, one of the things. Then we heard FM from Chinese Herbal Medicine. That's a name for a band.
Yeah.
Shaka Kakaka by Pill and Bui. Or Bua. They're from Norway. So I don't know exactly. Infrariot with We Outnumber You. Mr. Susan with Broken, something live. Armageddon, Petrol Terriers, all the cats are from England. And then John Truby, I think he's up in San Jose now. No. Yeah, maybe. What's the one north of San Rafael?
Yeah, north side of the bay.
Is that
Santa Rosa?
Santa Rosa, that's it. I think it's the last of the missions.
Yeah, maybe so, south. Yeah.
Yeah, John Truby, Song of the Tiger. Back to our guest, Dave Widow. I mean, you told us a little about the future, what you're doing. You and Joe are getting these tunes together for your next album.
Right.
And, but any other future plan?
Well, we're also working on getting over to Switzerland and Germany. We're talking to some folks over there about doing a little stint across the water there, which would be really fun. It would be a good little career move for me.
Have you ever toured Europe?
Never.
Happened.
Never.
And so yeah, I hope this happens.
It's you know, everybody's been telling me for a long time, Dave, they would love you in Europe and all this stuff, and so I finally, you know, Joe was like, man, we should go do this, and actually, he and Burley, the drummer from Ambrosia, those two guys have been pretty supportive and wanting to do some stuff. We're going to open up for an Ambrosia show again soon, pretty soon. I think it's like near the end of the year. We're going to do a show at the Warner Grand Theater.
Oh, good. Downtown Pedro.
Very cool. Yeah.
What was their big song? Nice.
That was one of them. Yeah. And
Nice. Very nice.
Right, and then they had I Keep Holding On. And then they had I Keep Holding On to Yesterday.
Oh, yeah, after.
That was my favorite of their tunes. And
maybe the nice one was first. I just remember it sticks in my head. It was a trippy tune.
They might have been off the same record. Okay. I'm not sure.
At the beginning?
Yeah, at the very beginning, right.
So, okay, so you... Working with them, both, so they're the rhythm section.
Well, yeah, for part of what I'm doing right now, and I'm still playing with James Gatson a little bit, the drummer.
Yeah.
And, a few different guys, but, you know, I'm working on, I've got three or four different irons in the fire that I'm...
Yeah, great. Some parallel
working on, right, yeah.
We're going to play Piss You Off.
Oh, cool.
What can you tell us about that tune?
Man, that tune...
There was a lot of rapping at the beginning. But it was done in the studio, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that was done in the studio.
What's that about the rap?
I think...
It's like some banner? Or?
Yeah, it was just banner we threw in there. We were all just in there, you know, tearing it up. And I don't know, somebody thought that was a good idea to include that.
Okay. Let's listen to it.
All right.
Was it something I did? Or something I said. I'm all mixed up. I can't clear my head. Tell me how I spin. Seems I can never win. What I do to piss you off this time? I put up with your
We'll be right back.
Watch for Pedro Show. Last music, Piss You Off, Dave Widow. Then World Be Free with I Erase You. Sparkos Stegosaurus by the Earthworm Ensemble. I think there's a Silver Lake Record Park.
There was an NBA player named World Be Free.
Yeah, I think them. I don't know where these cats are from. But I remember that dude changed his name. Yeah, that's right.
Nuggets.
Right, Denver. Fish Don't Swim by Rats in the Louvre. But don't let them fool you with the French and the name because they're Strong Beach. Craig Barman. Yeah.
Flying Fish.
Trixie.
Right, Flying Fish. That's right. No, not... You know what, though? Fucking... fish don't swim. Birds don't swim. No, not a Silver Gen Coast. That's Brother Steve. He was on board last week with Cat Arthur. And then finally, Cosmodrome with Alaf Akbar. Now, I ask people this. If somebody asks you about this racket, you know. Well, first tell me, what do you think is important about music, in your opinion?
Well, music is, you know, it's a good outlet for the soul, and it's, you know, it helps. It's good for the musician, and it's good for me as a listener, I think, you know, and I guess I speak for other people when I say that, too. I mean, music is so important, you know. It's, at times, really held me together, you know, when shit was off the hook, you know. Music can save your life sometimes, I think, and
right.
And it's been, you know, really, really cool, you know, facet in my life. I feel like it's, you know, a gift somehow that I've...
Well, what about a young cat asking you for advice? What would you tell him?
About how to get somewhere or whether to play?
Just about music.
I would say, you know, go after it. Do what you can with it and immerse yourself in it and see where it takes you, you know. Explore avenues that you haven't gone and go further down the avenues that you started out and you know something about, and just keep it up, immerse yourself.
But if they're young, they ain't got a lot of experience, they haven't been around, so maybe that's another advice, go get some.
Yeah, well, you got to start somewhere.
Different cats.
Right, yeah, try to play with different cats, listen to different styles, yeah. See what, you know, moves you. Follow what you enjoy. Try to play with guys who are... The advice that I got was that I always thought was good was try to play with guys that are better than you.
Yeah.
Don't go down. You know, if anything, go up. And then...
Stay in learning mode.
Right, right.
Good stuff.
Shoot towards, you know, attaining a better, you know, a better thing.
Well, does it ever end? It's a journey, right?
Right, never ends. It goes on and, you know... I mean, I know I hear some of the greatest players say that they're still learning, and I know it's a continual thing. You know that.
Yeah. No, but just to hear other perspectives is interesting to me. Because people are always asking me advice, so whoever comes on the show, we ask, what would you tell somebody? So I'm trying to learn how to...
Right on.
Even on that thing. It's all... It seems like life is a big fucking classroom in a way. I think when we're kids, they tell you, oh, no, it's... You're going to graduate high school or college. It'll be over. It ain't over.
Right, that's true.
And maybe it's good. It ain't over.
Yeah, that's true.
One of the most dangerous things is maybe telling yourself, I know it all.
I think so.
Very dangerous.
That'd be a big mistake.
I've been there.
It's good to be humble. You know, remain...
Nobody can teach you anything.
That's right.
You're never done.
I remember talking with Papa John Creech at his pad, and he said, just takes me a little longer to warm up.
There you go.
Never.
I like that.
Great. He and that cat played all the way up. Pine Top Perkins.
Right.
Me and Raymond saw him in Long Beach, 99 years old. And he went on for years after that.
Wow. Man. That's how I want to go out, is, you know, on the stage.
Playing. Yeah, that's great. Dave, it's been such an honor to have you on.
Yeah, great,
man,
to
it's
have
been
you
an
there.
Honor to be good here.
Thanks really. For your always essential aid.
Certainly.
And keep on keeping on. That's what John Fogerty once wrote to me. And
Right on, man.
I'll pass
thank
the same
you.
Thing on down to you.
Thank you, Mike. It's been a pleasure and an honor.
Yeah, great to have you.
It's been the February 17, 2016 edition of Wap Peter Show. Everybody, keep your powder dry.
Yeah.